Welcome to the Financial Coaches Podcast, where we talk about how to build your practice from startup to scale up while being the kind of coach your clients crave. Finally, a podcast for financial coaches. Here are your hosts, Maria Casillas and Cody Sizemore.
Hello and welcome back to the Financial Coaches Podcast. My name is Cody Sizemore and I'm joined here by my lovely co-host, Maria Casillas. Maria, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. So I know that you have been itching to talk about something for the last couple of weeks, and I've just kept saying no, no, no. I'm just kidding. We've just been busy with other things we need to talk about. But we're going to get into all that. But first, I just want to say thank you to our every weekers. You know, those are the people who listen to us every week consistently. You haven't gotten tired of us yet, which is pretty cool. And we just appreciate you. You know, it's you who really do support this show and allow us to keep doing what we're doing. And we just want to say thank you for that. And we also want to invite everyone, whether you're an every weeker or a first time listener or people who just pop in and out. We want to invite you into our Facebook group as well. And that Facebook group is free to join. And it's called The Financial Coaches Community by New Money Habits. So just pop in there, you know, we can get connected there. It's a great community of like-minded coaches, and you can ask questions, you can give us suggestions for topics on this show, all those different types of things, and of course, just continue to build that impact that we're all trying to do. And then lastly, if you didn't see, a few weeks back, we had launched a new course for aspiring financial coaches. And we call that Getting Started as a Financial Coach. So if you want to check out a free webinar to check that out, you can find that link in the description in this episode. Learn a little bit more about it. See what financial coaching is all about. And then, you know, if you're interested, you can go ahead and enroll and get things off the ground. So that is for people who are trying to get their first client, get their next client, and really just take this this world by storm. So with all that being said, Maria, what do you want to talk about? Because I know you've been dying to talk about this.
Well, that's so dramatic how you're setting that up. I haven't been dying to talk about it, but I have been very interested in sharing with this with not just you, Cody, but with the world as well. You know, sometimes things come across our desk and it kind of speaks to us. And that happened to me the other day. I'm reading a book and it's a fiction book. I don't want to set it up too much, but it's a fiction book, but based in reality, as are most fiction books. But it's actually about a young lady who had been sex trafficked. And in this actual book, she writes a book about her story. So that's kind of the setup. And the person who wrote the foreword to this book wrote this beautiful thing. And I shared it a little bit with you, Cody. And I'm like, do you think that this is something that only someone as crazy as me think would be kind of cool? And you're like, no, I actually think people might like it. So here we are. And because I know myself and there's no way I would actually set it up correctly and give it justice, I got permission from you, Cody, to just read it aloud. So are you guys okay with that? I mean, give that to me. Okay. Because sometimes when something's done so well, there's no sense in trying to recreate that wheel. So
yeah,
I'm not going to try to recreate it. But I'll tell you, this is regarding the Statue of David by Michelangelo. So it kind of gives you a little bit more context there. So without further ado, I'm going to read this to you. The foreword is called The Resurrection of Casey Girl. And that's because that's this girl's name in the book. Years ago, I was working in Italy. I'd heard of Michelangelo's David, but never seen him. So I bought a ticket and walked down a long hallway lined with what looked like half-finished sculptures. Huge square chunks of veined marble with forms of people being released, works he never finished. I thought, what a shame, a waste. Then I turned a corner and there he was, towering, perfection. It's the first and only time I'd ever looked at a piece of stone that took my breath away. No matter how long I sat and stared, I could not understand how human hands did that. How did Michelangelo know David was in there? Hidden in the rock, spotless, no blemish, just waiting for the sculptor's hands to fling wide the prison doors. Only one other time in my life have I felt this way, and the source of that awe you now hold in your hands. From the moment we're born, life chips away at us. With every hammer stroke, we watch in horror as the pieces that once made us fall to the ground. Soon, we stand amid the rubble, the fragments, the shards and the slivers, and we think to ourselves, I need that. I can't leave that here. It was once a part of me. I'm no longer whole. I'll never make it without it. So we spend much of our time chasing or collecting the pieces that break off, those that are stolen, or the ones we leave behind. Pretty soon, the pieces we carry are more than our hands can hold, so we throw a bag over our shoulder and stuff it full. Eventually, a backpack. Before long, we're reduced to vagabonds scouring the earth, tormented by the fear that we're incomplete, never whole until we find every single piece. Soon, our pack is bigger than us, and we're bent over, inching along, a beast of burden walking along under the crushing, focused on what's missing rather than what's revealed. But every now and then, one brave soul comes and risks what the fearful won't and never will, despite the possibility of open rejection, abandonment, criticism, mockery, laughter, and shame. She lifts her pack off her shoulder, empties it before the world, and lets strangers sift through the pieces, holding each by hand. Gemologists studying her imperfections under a magnifier, every piece a word spoken. When Michelangelo freed David from the cold marble cell that held him, the ground below the scaffolding was littered with pieces, pieces that once made up the rock, but not David. We know this because when finished, Michelangelo didn't sweep all those discards into a pile only to hang them in a pack on David's back. Why would he free him only to curse him through all eternity with carrying the marble walls of his own prison? And I'm going to stop there, because I think that's one of the most important parts of this entire thing. So Before we go any further, what are some of your initial thoughts? What jumped out to you in that story?
I think it's really, really good. The idea that just because there was a part of us before that maybe we were able to grow past or let go of, a lot of times we try and, like you said, like pick up those pieces, right? Mm-hmm. And we still kind of carry it with us. So it might be something like, you know, regret, for example, or shame or whatever it might be, to where like, you know, we have tried to move past these mistakes that we have made or, you know, the circumstances that we had before. And for some reason, it's really difficult for us to just let that go. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be a comfort thing. It might be a security thing. It might be a, hey, maybe I don't really feel worthy kind of thing. But for some reason, we tend to hold on to those old pieces, and they do become like a very heavy backpack that mm-hmm. weighs us down, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what I really liked about it is that like the true beauty and the awe of this like new and empowered version of us is really actualized when we lay that down. Like once and for all mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I think that a lot of people tend to do that, carry that, those pieces, those broken pieces, myself included, you know? And it's just a good reminder to lay it down and just embrace where you're going and who you are now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what really struck me is the idea that, well, obviously the whole analogy is that, you know, we start out as this rock, right? It's not that, that we are stuck inside of this thing. It's like we, who we are is in there, but we need the beginning, which is this giant rock. And then those experiences, or I really like the way you use the word circumstances, tend to kind of chip away at us a little bit. And, you know, we might need to go through whether it is, something that is shameful or dark. That's, sometimes, but sometimes it's actually nothing shameful or dark at all. It's just something that we do. You know, I used to be a counselor, for example, and if I have now had that chipped away and it's a piece on the ground, I think sometimes we go, oh, wait, that's part of who I am and I need to have that in order to move forward. And it's like, well, actually, that's not who you are anymore. It was something that was necessary for you to go through, and using that experience helped to form what was inside, but it doesn't necessarily mean you need to continue to own that role, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where I kind of saw that. And I think it can absolutely relate to what a lot of our listeners might go through. You know, there are ideas that we have. There are, especially around money, right? We're taught certain things. There are strategies that we might try. There are just different approaches that are kind of put into our lap sometime, and things that really work. And just because they work in the moment doesn't necessarily mean that if it gets chipped away and lands on the ground, that we need to pick that up and continue with that thing. And I know that for myself in business, I feel that way, that I know that I do that sometimes. Sometimes in life, yes, but I really wanted to see if you could see this in business as well, because I think that the entrepreneur, like, a lot of times we don't know what we don't know. And so we try all of these different things, and sometimes it really works and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes even the ones that work, it's like, okay, that worked for right now, and now we're chipping it away, and it's now rubble on the ground. And I don't know about you, but I often find myself sweeping that back up and be like, nope, that was a really great project that I did, and I don't want to let that go. It's part of what I have to offer. And it's like, nope, that's not what I have to offer anymore. So that's kind of where what I saw when I was reading that.
Yeah. And I think that this is it's a lesson and a thought process that we as coaches can really help our clients with as mm-hmm. well. Because, I mean, even when you were reading that, I was like, man, I know some clients that could mm-hmm. really hear this, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that it applies to financial coaching for clients as mm-hmm. well. And it might be something to where, you know, if you were to find that forward and kind of keep that in your back pocket for when you need it most, it might be a pretty powerful tool in someone's coaching. So, you know, that's coming to mind. But then another thing that's coming to mind too is, like, even with my own personal life, you had mentioned how this can affect a person's career and or business.
Mm-hmm.
And with my personal life, so before I was, now for you every weekers, you know this, in the long-term listeners, you guys know this. But before I was a financial coach, I spent almost a decade in the music industry. So, and whether it be, you know, playing in bands or booking concerts for a living, I was like fully immersed into music. And that was like my identity. That was my life. That's all I thought about. That's when people heard my name, they assumed and associated me as the music guy. You know, and it wasn't just locally, it was all across the nation. People would refer to me and view me that way. So, you know, once COVID hit 4 years ago and I made that transition from the music guy to the money guy, there was a lot of confusion, like a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while music was a great thing for me and I definitely wouldn't change anything, looking back, like I would do it all over again, because there are certain things that I got from that. I've applied in my coaching that have made it really helpful. I went through a lot of struggle in those days. Financially speaking, of course, but mentally and emotionally, when you're kind of like the head of a music scene, there's a lot of people who respect you and they, you know, they're good friends to you and they're good, you know, business partners as well. But then there's a lot of people who do not respect you. They are not nice to you and they tend to drag your name through the mud mm-hmm. at every opportunity they can get. because they want to complain or they want to try and take you down or whatever it might be. And then you get those people in the middle who are actually that, they're actually that deep down, but on the surface, they seem as if they are on your side.
Mm.
And when I decided to take a step back from music and pursue this career instead, a lot of that came to surface. A lot of the middle people,
mm-hmm.
where I was like, I thought that we were cool. Like, I've always treated you well. You know, like, you've always seemed like everything was great. Like, you know, we never had any issues. And now you're, now that you can't get something from me, like, now you're going off and like running my name through the mud. Like, what, like, what's that all about?
A lot of truth was revealed.
Yeah.
During that.
Yeah. And that was very damaging to me, you know? So when I first started this career path of financial coaching, I had to lay a lot of that down, and it was very difficult for me. Very, very mm-hmm. difficult, because my heart was still in it. I still cared about these people, even if they, you know, quote unquote, like, turned on me. I still had a heart for them. I still cared about them. And it was difficult, but, you know, as time went on and I continued to just stay true to myself, I was able to heal from that. And I think that that's something that, while it might not be the same exact situation for maybe some of the listeners who are going from one career path and they're trying to go into this career path instead,
mm-hmm.
I do think that it's that difference of like the identity kind of thing, you know, to where it's like you were once in one form and now you are chipping away at the old things that maybe weren't as ideal, and now you're trying to step into this, you know, more true form of yourself, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and, you know, do the things that you're supposed to do in this world. And I think that that's a really, really good story or metaphor to think on, because I think that going from one career path to another, it can be very intimidating. It can be very scary for a mm-hmm. lot of people. Because a lot of people, and it shouldn't be this way, but it was for me, and I know that it is for a lot of people. They find their identity in what they do,
mm-hmm.
you know? So making that shift, it can be very, very scary. And it can be like chipping away those stones, or that rubble from your statue. Yep. And sometimes it's difficult to sweep those up and discard them, because you still want to feel like you are a part of what you once were. And I can tell you from personal experience that it's better to just sweep them up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And throw them away.
Yeah. Yeah.
and not let other people put them into a bag for you and ask you to carry that bag.
Right.
And I think that sometimes one of the things that we do is we're okay with them being down there and now they're rubble. But if we don't sweep them away, we sometimes almost invite people to come over and put that in a bag and say, here you go, this is yours. You better throw it across your shoulder and move on. So anyway, I think that it is, I mean, and then we could go in lots of different directions. I mean, I think it actually has a really beautiful spiritual undertone as well about, you know, our creator and how we are meant to be, not just what we're meant to do. And so we could go all day. We're not going to, of course, but I really appreciate you allowing me to just kind of walk through that and at least pretend to get something out of that, because I know that sometimes when I read things, I look deeper than what is actually supposed to be there. But I think that's part of who I am, and it's part of what's chipping me away. So I appreciate you always letting me have that conversation with you.
Yeah, of course. It was a good one. So what was the title of that book again? So that myself and also the listeners can look that up.
I was half afraid you asked that. So the name of the, no, only because it's okay. So the name of the actual book is The Letter Keeper.
Okay.
That's what the name of the actual book is. And in there, it's much deeper than just one girl who had been trafficked, but, the girl who this, fictional girl who was writing, her name was Casey, and this was just the foreword. It's chapter 21 of that book, The Letter Keeper. So,
okay.
Yeah, but awesome. Very, very good, very good reading for anybody who's just looking for, I don't want to say mindless, because it's certainly not mindless, but a little bit of peek into other people's lives and troubles. So anyway, thanks for asking. Yeah. All right. Well, that concludes our discussion for this particular episode. And we just want to remind you guys, if you would like to join that Facebook group that Cody mentioned at the beginning, we appreciate that. We always appreciate your ratings, and we look forward to seeing you next week on the Financial Coaches Podcast. Have a great week, you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Financial Coaches Podcast, brought to you by New Money Habits and Sizemore Financial Coaching. Submit your questions to our hosts by emailing podcast@newmoneyhabits.com. Be sure to subscribe to be notified of future episodes and join our growing group of like-minded coaches on Facebook. And until next time, happy coaching. Music provided by Summer School.